What's up, fools? This is the QTR Podcast Part 2 today. Same day, second podcast. I can't believe I'm doing it. I really didn't want to do two podcasts in one day. No sooner did I hit the goddamn publish button on my last podcast. It was moments after that. If you haven't listened to QTR 48, it's me ranting and raving about Elon Musk and his proposed solution for the Thailand cave problem, which ultimately got shit on by a member of the rescue squad who actually helped bring these people out of the cave, who told Elon he could basically take his solution and stick it up his ass. But no sooner do I get done ranting about that, and no sooner do I hit publish, thinking, wow, now I'm done doing a podcast. I don't have to do another one for a while. Then I turn around and I look at this article on Salon.com today, titled the following. Excuse me, hold on. Elon Musk revealed as one of the largest donors for a House Republican PAC. Oh, this is so good. I love this shit. I just love it, okay? I'm going to read you a little bit of the article, and then I'm going to just give you 2 seconds worth of thoughts on it, which may turn into 30 minutes, but fuck it. It's my podcast. I'll do whatever I want. The article says the following. Elon Musk has not had a great week. First, one of the Thailand cave rescuers mocked his involvement in the mission to save the trapped soccer team. Now, reports indicate that Musk was one of the top donors for a Republican PAC named Protect the House. Filings show that the Tesla and SpaceX CEO donated $38,900 to the PAC, which is dedicated to keeping Republicans in control of Congress. The PAC raised over $8 million in quarter two, according to filings compiled by ProPublica. The top donors in the PAC include Sheldon Adelson, the Vegas casino magnate, and Robert McNair, the owner of the NFL's Houston Texans. Although Adelson and McNair's contributions far outweighed Musk's, Adelson and McNair each gave $371,500 respectively, while Musk gave $33,900, Musk was one of the top 50 donors to the PAC. Ugh, I love it. Musk's contributions were startling considering his politics. Musk is a self-proclaimed socialist who says he started his automobile company in part to combat climate change. He's been an outspoken critic of climate change deniers. Quote, "Climate change is the biggest threat that humanity faces this century, except for AI," Musk said in an interview with Rolling Stone late last year. Quote, "I keep telling people this. I hate to be a Cassandra here, but it's all fun and games until somebody loses a fucking eye. This view of climate change is shared by almost everyone who's not crazy in the scientific community," end quote. This is just fantastic. I have spent... So... Here's the deal. This article comes out and it's like, you know, I'm thinking maybe it won't really have any effect. After all, nothing over the last year, 2 years has really seemed to move the needle with people that are buying Teslas or people that are supporters of the company. Elon Musk is consistently coming out and making projections and targets that he misses. His state-of-the-art production line that was supposed to rewrite the entire auto industry. He had to replace that whole fucking thing and build a tent outside of his factory where they're manually putting things together instead. Musk came out last week and pretty much dissed some of the people involved with the Thailand cave rescue. He's been lashing out at the media and Lynette Lopez of recent, but this is really his second go-round that he's having at the media. And nobody really seems to give a fuck. The stock won't break. This fascinating $55 billion valuation that this company has which is based on, I guess, Model 3 reservations that nobody really knows the total amount of for a $35,000 vehicle that they haven't fucking sold for $35,000 yet. And the bright future of producing cars in China and the Tesla Semi and the Model Y and all these things, they don't really have the funding to implement. This is what the stock price is based on. The market is giving Elon a lot of leeway because of his persona. Just think about this from an investing standpoint. I wrote an article about this and submitted it to Seeking Alpha today. I don't know if they're going to publish it. Sometimes, editorially, they can be very picky when it comes to Tesla. So if they do, I'll let you read it. And if they don't, I'm going to tell you pretty much what it says right now anyways. But the article says as follows. Elon Musk's public persona is really the biggest asset that the company has. Okay? The $55 billion valuation that's placed on this company by the public market right now is not based on the company's profitability right now. It's not based on any type of tangible equity that the company has. It's not based on any type of cash flow stream that can be easily predictable going forward, at least in my opinion. It's based on Elon Musk. It's based on this intangible kind of assumption that Elon Musk is going to be able to do something in the future that is going to justify this type of valuation on the company. Now, as I've said in the past, I do think there's some brand equity there. Okay, so I would say maybe the brand equity is worth $5 billion or even $10 billion on a good day. But even then, you're talking about 80% downside if you're just going to, you know, go with the idea that somebody might buy them just to own the name Tesla and just to be the guy, just to be the company that owns the Tesla name. That makes a little bit of sense to me. So I'm not going to be saying that zero is the total downside, although I do think there's probably 80 to 90% downside that could be reasonable. I don't think bankruptcy is off the table. I just don't think it's the likely scenario. That's not to say that I don't think that they will go bankrupt. I just think that the more likely scenario is the stock will just, you know, come down significantly. But anyways, the point I'm trying to make here is that the stock price, and if you don't understand anything about the stock market, I'm trying to break it down for you real quick. And if you do understand this shit, I'm sorry. But I feel like I just want to break this down for the record, right? When the public market, when you look at the stock price of a company, what you're looking at is the price that people are willing to pay per share of the company. And a really easy way to figure out how the company is being valued by the public market is to take the stock price and to multiply it by the number of outstanding shares. So if I start a company and my company only has 2 shares and me and my partner each pay $50 per share, we know that our company is valued, at least by us, to be $100. And it's the same concept with public companies. All you're doing is you're taking the share price and you're multiplying it by the amount of outstanding shares, and you have pretty much, for the most part, a valuation on a company. And you want to get a little bit more complicated, you could try to find a company's enterprise value, which basically takes that valuation that you come up with based on the share price times the total number of shares. And what you do is you add on the debt, because the debt is a liability. And so in essence, if you buy a company for $10 billion that has $4 billion worth of debt, you're really paying $14 billion for it. You're not paying $10 billion for it. That's just kind of one way to think about why you would add the debt onto the value. And you would subtract the cash. So you're trying to figure out what the net cash or the net debt position of the company is and kind of associate that with the market cap, which is the valuation of the company. And that's called an enterprise value. And so Tesla right now has an enterprise value of about $55 billion. You know what? Just to be accurate, let me give you the exact enterprise value, just so some knob can't be like, well, you said it was $50 billion and it was really $52 billion. Okay, so check this out. Tesla has an enterprise value of $63.9 billion. So really, $64 billion is the price that you would need to pay, in theory, to take this company over to buy the company. $64 billion. So, now you don't have to be a stock market professional or a financial professional. You have to think to yourself, what is worth $64 billion at this company? Right? They're not generating cash. They burned $389.2 million in operating cash flow over the trailing 12-month period. So that means money is going out and not coming in. They have $12.57 billion in debt, which is what takes their $54 billion market cap and turns it into a $64 billion company. You tack on that $12 billion in debt and you subtract the $2.6 billion in cash that they have. But what are you paying for? What are you paying for? What's worth $64 billion? You have an unprofitable company that has yet to prove that they can be profitable. And meanwhile, the CEO has come out over and over again and made promises that he has missed. Projections he's missed. And it's becoming clearer and clearer that he may not have a very firm grasp as to the financial side of the business. So what does that mean? Well, it means that the $64 billion valuation is coming from somewhere else. It can't be coming from people assuming they're going to turn a profit or assuming they're going to be cash flow positive. I mean, maybe it can, but maybe that's good for $20 billion or $25 billion. In a simple sense, if you're new to the stock market, you know, what a $64 billion valuation means, if you're buying the stock here, it means that you expect the company to somehow generate at least $64 billion in profit in the future. Very, very simple type of analogy. But on its face, the simplest way to think about it is, what is giving this company $64 billion in value? Where does it come from? And the answer is Elon Musk. As I've written before, and many people have, the story here is what is giving the company value. It's not coming from the balance sheet. It's not coming from the income statement. It's not coming from the cash flow statement. The valuation is coming from the narrative. It's coming from the story. It's coming from the personality at the top of the company, which is Elon Musk. And this thing that happened today, and honestly, if you had told me about this earlier today, if you had said that Elon Musk is going to be revealed as somebody who donated $38,900 to a GOP PAC that was responsible for keeping Republicans in control of the Congress, I would say, wow, that seems very different from his publicly stated political views, but it probably means nothing and nothing will probably happen. But all of a sudden, people are flipping out about it. And the reason is so many Tesla investors and so many people that are customers of the company are the types of people that are buying into the narrative. They are literally drinking the Kool-Aid. They're drinking the electric vehicle Kool-Aid. Now, personally, I think climate change is real. I think it needs to be addressed. I'm all for alternative energy. I worked for an alternative energy company. If it's cost efficient and it makes sense and it works, I'm down for it. But in this case, you have a lot of people that just attach themselves to the narrative of, you know, electric vehicles are better for the environment. They don't really give a fuck where the electricity comes from. They just feel better driving around in an electric vehicle, and that's fine. But at the end of the day, all of the people that have attached themselves to Tesla and Elon Musk and the story that he's a genius and he's going to save the world and we're going to Mars. I like that one. We're going to Mars. To the people that have attached themselves to that, unrealistically, the people that short sellers and skeptics have been thinking, what is it going to take to get through to these people that this guy can't seem to keep his promises? And that his behavior is a little erratic, and that this company is not profitable and doesn't seem like it can be profitable on any consistent basis. So Tesla shorts for years have been banging their heads against the wall wondering, what the fuck is it going to take? It's one missed target after another. It's one promise after another that doesn't get fulfilled. And the stock closed Friday at $318.87 a share and a $64 billion valuation. But again, that valuation is based only on this Elon Musk type option on the company. Even if he doesn't get it right with Tesla, he's going to revolutionize energy as we know it. He's going to get it right with SpaceX. He's going to bail out Tesla like he bailed out SolarCity. The government's going to bail out Tesla. There's all these weird theories to kind of deflect from the fact that there's no real tangible cash coming in from this company yet, at least on any sort of consistent basis. But what this GOP donation article seems to have done is absolutely triggered people that are on the far left that are in the corner of pro-Tesla, pro-Elon Musk, just because they thought, look, the guy's a socialist, his political ideology agrees with mine, and therefore, I'm going to give him my business, I'm going to invest in his company, I really think he can do it, I really think he can be the guy. And it turns out as what? Yeah, just fucking politics as usual. Even Musk said today, I think on Twitter, after this whole thing happened, well, I like to donate to both parties. This way, when I want my voice to be heard, I can make sure I can get somebody on the line. Okay. Kind of sounds like Trump during the elections, you know? I donate to everybody, folks, okay? Nobody knows the game, and nobody knows how the game is played better than me, okay? I donate to Hillary. I donate to the left. I donate to the right. It is my obligation as a businessman, okay, to me and to my family, that I donate to whoever. And I have lots of friends, folks. I have lots of friends on both sides of the aisle. And that's kind of what this Elon Musk thing now sounds like. Which to me kind of makes a little bit of sense. If I was in his position, I'd probably be doing the same thing. You know, you want to have access to politicians when you need something as a businessman, and that's what you're thinking of. But if you're on the far left, like many of his supporters, there is just no excuse for donating to the GOP for any reason at all. And this PAC that he donated to is a GOP PAC to help the GOP keep control of Congress. And then Elon has the balls to come out and tweet the following. That said, I do not actually see the checks. I changed that policy today. A nominal annual amount goes out automatically to both parties to maintain dialogue. I have given vastly more to humanitarian causes. Well, that's actually probably true. He probably doesn't see the checks. But the left that's like absolutely triggered about this is not going to accept that. The left will not give a fuck. They do not want you donating to Trump, donating to the GOP, donating to anything that is not on the left. And you could say the same thing about the right. I'm not trying to make a partisan statement here. But I am trying to say that those on the far left don't give a fuck what his excuse is for donating to the right. They just, it's unconscionable to them. They can't believe it. Then Elon writes, Reports that I am a top donor to GOP are categorically false. I am not a top donor to any political party. Well, that is correct that you're not a top donor to the GOP, but you are a top donor to the GOP Political Action Committee, which was in control of, which was trying to allow Republicans to maintain control of Congress. So it is an accurate statement to say that you are not a top donor to the GOP, but you did donate to a GOP PAC, and you were in, you know, the top echelon of people that did so. So to come out with this, you know, odious type of deflection just makes things worse. Just say I did it. Just be a man. This is like all the shit with his production goals and missing targets. If you just come out and you just admit it and just say, look, I fucked up. I did this. I did that. We can't make the target. We can't hit our run rate. We have to, you know, change things in-house. We need to rearrange things. We're going to have a shit year, but next year will be better. To just come out and tell the truth. Just do it. Just tell the truth, Elon. Just say it. Just tell the truth. Instead of coming out with this, oh, everybody is mistaken. This is patently false information. Categorically false, he says. And then, like a half hour later, he comes out with this perfunctory tweet to the Sierra Club. Oh my God. The Sierra Club tweeted conveniently this evening, there have got to be better topics of debate than whether Elon Musk is committed to climate action. He has dedicated his career to the mission of replacing fossil fuels with clean energy and has strongly backed the Sierra Club's advocacy work. We are proud to have his support. That means his money. Just another group he's donated to, kissing his ass, probably like the GOP Political Action Committee would be doing if he needed their help. And so Musk retweets this Sierra Club tweet and writes, thank you for fighting climate change. This affects every living creature on Earth. So I don't necessarily disagree with him there. But what I do disagree with is putting on this show where it's like, we're having a fucking emergency. We need to get some left-wing tweets out there immediately. And he pinned that tweet, too. I love that. I just went to his Twitter profile before I started the podcast. He pinned that tweet. And also, if you notice, too, his tweets about not seeing the checks, and also his another tweet where he writes, thanks, Jack. To be clear, I am not a conservative. I'm registered independent and politically moderate, which doesn't seem to be socialism, which is how he had described himself in the past. Doesn't mean I'm moderate about all issues. Humanitarian issues are extremely important to me, and I don't understand why they're not important to everyone. That tweet and the tweet prior to it about the checks, he has retweeted himself. So he is now retweeting himself. I guess just putting things out the first time to 22.3 million followers is not enough. Elon Musk seems to be furiously in cover-up mode. But the irony of this whole situation is that this seems to be an event that could finally be pissing off the Tesla longs and the retail customers enough. No, it wasn't the lying that did it. It wasn't the missed targets. It wasn't going after journalists. It wasn't statements that some people think are libelous. It wasn't any of that stuff. It wasn't cars that are having quality control issues. It wasn't saying you're going to sell a $35,000 vehicle and then not being able to do it. It wasn't hashtag cave dildo. It wasn't any of these things that pissed off these people, but for the fact that he donated to a GOP cause. And I have a feeling the left has dug their heels in a manner in which if Elon had only donated $1 to the GOP, they would be equally as pissed off. So if you go down the Tesla cash tag on Twitter, and to do that you put $TSLA in the Twitter search box and then hit latest instead of top, just to kind of walk down the Tesla tweets of the day, it is littered with people that are furious. And if you go to the Tesla Motor Club forum, you just see people that are canceling their orders, that are furious with Elon that he has done this. people are starting all different types of, you know, hashtag fuck Tesla and stuff like that. People are not taking it well. Here's a tweet right here. When you buy a Tesla, you are supporting all the Republicans' hate and global warming. Here's another tweet. Cancel my Tesla. That's it. It's a retweet of the Salon.com article about this. It just says, cancel my Tesla. Here is a post from the Tesla Motor Club forum. My wife just asked me to sell both of our Teslas because of this and cancel my third reservation. How about this tweet from Ross Gerber back in March of this year? If you are hosting or attending the Trump front... If you are hosting or attending the Trump fundraiser in L.A., we will identify who you are to the media and public. We will boycott your businesses. We will do everything to fight you destroying our state. Trump is the devil. I wonder what Ross is thinking about Elon's donations. Here's Chelsea Handler, the late night talk show host. Nice to know the person responsible for making electric cars is able to divorce himself from climate change by donating to the very people who deny its existence. I traded my Tesla in last week after my friend's Tesla caught on fire, so I saved a trip. Wow. Here's another tweet. I've been telling my husband to get a Tesla for the past 6 months. Now it would be over my dead body. Staying in the Lincoln Motor Company family. And yet another tweet. So the last one was at ShellE719. Just so you know, these are real tweets. This one is at DRGITLIN. And he writes, it's not about being a conservative. It's about actively supporting a party that's destroying the planet, which is supposedly antithetical to Tesla's core value. Elon Musk is a giant fucking hypocrite. So this is absolutely fascinating that this could be the thing that unwinds Tesla. I mean, we'll have to see. We'll see what the trading looks like Monday when the stock opens, and we'll see if any news breaks before then or if Elon embarrasses himself further trying to defend himself. But for now, certainly the outrage here seems to be real and seems to be tangible. And this is the number 4 trending story on Twitter right now. So a lot of people are looking at it. We'll have to see if it has a profound effect. Remember, if the Model 3 reservations start to kind of thin out, it could be a huge negative for the company. I mean, the company is priced not only for perfection with Model 3 reservations, that they would continue and continue with some robustness, but also that future vehicles will also experience the same type of demand. I mean, $65 billion enterprise value or $64 billion enterprise value, that's a serious amount of money. You could cut that in half easily and still argue that Tesla's way overvalued. So we're going to have to see how this pans out over the next couple of days. But one thing is for sure, this could have a chance of really decimating the narrative that is holding up Tesla's stock. And that narrative is Elon Musk is on the far left and people on the left are loving that. They see him as a savior. Turns out he's playing politics as usual. I mean, I'm not going to come out and say he's a full-on Republican because I really don't believe he is. But the fact that he's donating to both political parties is enough to piss people off, as well it should. It's business as usual. It's just typical bullshit nonsense. And the fact that this story could be the thing that really has a negative effect on the company is interesting. It's always the thing that you don't expect. If you had, like I said earlier, if you had cornered me last week and asked what I thought would happen if this happened, I would say nothing. I'd say the stock would go up 10 bucks on Monday. Of course, we won't know what'll happen again until the market opens on Monday. But I've been following the story for a long time, and the response here online really seems to be semi-meaningful. So we'll just have to see how it goes. We'll have to see whether or not Elon decides to try and continue to respond to this. God, if I were him, I would just shut up. But just stop. Just stop talking. Just focus on the business. We'll hear from you once a quarter, okay? On your quarterly scheduled conference calls. We don't need anything else. We don't need any more books. We don't need any more grandiose ideas. We don't need you to solve all of the world's problems at once. We just need you to run your company. And I speak on behalf of shareholders that are either too naive or too unsophisticated to understand what they're invested in and what their investment means. But these people need cash generation, and they need a profit, and they need something to fill the gap of this $64 billion enterprise value, aside from an order of mashed potatoes from Cracker Barrel, which is pretty much what your entire valuation is made up of right now. So on behalf of those people, run the car business and stop doing everything else. But a fascinating experiment in human psychology this definitely is, and it's been unbelievable to watch it unfold here over the course of the night, and I can't wait to wake up tomorrow morning and see 10,000 more tweets and messages that I can analyze. This is the first time I've ever done two podcasts in a day, but desperate times call for desperate measures, and on top of that, I don't really have much of a life, so worked out for me. I had the time available. With that being said, 31 minutes on a Saturday night is more than enough. And I'll catch you either tomorrow or I'll catch you early next week. I am out. Peace.